Dr. Oliver Sacks once wrote, "Music imprints itself on the brain deeper than any other human experience. Music evokes emotion, and emotion can bring with it memory. Music brings back the feeling of life when nothing else can." The power of music and its ability to heal continues to be one of the greatest forms of medicine today. Welcome to WonderCast, a community collaborative podcast supporting families navigating the complexity of chronic illness. Today, I am joined by Whitney Hewlett, board-certified music therapist at Dell Children's Medical Center here in Austin, Texas. Join us on our podcast as we discuss the various healing powers of music and the ways that it can support your family through illness today. This is Whitney.
Well, hi, my name is Whitney Hewlett, and I am a board-certified music therapist, among so many other things. I'm also a brand new dog mom and a foodie and an Enneagram 2 for anyone who's really into the Enneagram. And I have been a board-certified music therapist for my fifth year, and four of those years have been in a pediatric hospital. So I've been working on the inpatient units here in Austin in a pediatric hospital for the last 4 years, providing music therapy services for those patients.
Before working in that environment, were you always drawn to peds, or did you have to do rotations with adults as well?
Yeah, I had a very interesting journey. I'm very thankful. In the music therapy field, you do a 6-month clinical internship before you take a board certification exam. And when I was looking at internships, I had no idea what population I wanted to work with. For those who might not be familiar, music therapy doesn't just work with kids in the hospital. There's music therapists in schools. There's music therapists who work in older adult facilities, who work with wounded warriors with post-traumatic stress disorder. There's music therapists where there are people. And so I did not quite know with my internship where I wanted to go. So I did my internship at a place called Music Works in San Diego. That is a private practice and a nonprofit that are sort of married to each other and had a whole variety of populations. So I did 6 months of internship there, and then I stayed on and I worked there for a year, had a wonderful experience. And it was the coolest mix of pediatric home hospice, but I also did some older adult groups. I also worked with vets up at Camp Pendleton. It was a whole mix of things. So I kind of had a very large toolbox and got to dip my toe in a lot of different things before realizing that pediatrics really had my heart.
And I love that you got to see your tools utilized in different parts of our country. I think that that really pulls from unique populations. I would love to kind of talk with you, first of all, about what sort of drew you into using music as your greatest tool with supporting individuals. I know that this kind of might seem vague, but I think it gives us a lot of space to really understand the capacity that music has to be healing and supportive for families. I know with Wonders and Worries, the population we work with, more often than not, the adult is chronically ill or has been. And in the population you're working with, typically the child has been facing illness or undergoing treatment. Not always the case, but more often than not. And so I feel like music is holistically supportive for the whole family. And I would love to kind of touch on what drew you into that initially.
I love how you said music is supportive holistically to the whole family. I think it really matches family-centered care in a very beautiful way because it's something that is experienced communally in so many different ways. I guess I'll start with this question on a personal level. When I was a kid, I was that quiet, shy, very observant kid who was always interested in kind of being in the corner and doing a puzzle rather than, you know, playing with peers. And I was really quiet. And music was the thing for me when I was young where I found my voice. It was in the beautiful way that music does. It met me where I was. And so as I was shy and a little timid to engage with people sometimes, it was something that I could listen to and kind of go to my own world. But then when I found that I loved singing and playing instruments, it sort of followed me as I grew up and was always the rock, the thing that was calming me down, was energizing me. All my extracurriculars had something to do with music for the most part. And so it was just a huge part of my life. And so then when I was, you know, in high school and starting to think about what do I want to do, I knew that music was such a big deal to me and that it felt like part of my identity and was a scary thing to think about giving up. But I also knew that being a performer didn't match who I was. I'm someone that if you put me on a stage in front of a lot of people, I'm going to feel really nervous and anxious about that. And so when I heard about music therapy and heard there's this evidence-based profession where professionals are using music to help people. It had the helper, it had music, but it wasn't music for me. It was music for others. And so that's what made me want to be a music therapist. Outside of that, you know, music therapy is so, it's rooted in evidence, but music therapy doesn't own music. And so I hope everybody listening has had a really awesome experience with music. And when you think about how present music is in your everyday life, it just makes sense why it's so rich for helping people in so many different capacities. You know, we have music in most of the ceremonies that we do at weddings, at funerals. There's music when you're waiting on the phone to kind of calm you down so that you're not so anxious. You use music maybe when you work out, or maybe to help get you through a breakup or to help wind you down when you're trying to go to bed. We innately use music so much. And so, you know, someone called it one time the mutual friend in the room for every single person. And I've always loved that description because I think that's exactly what it is.
Gosh, I love that so much. I think I'm going to steal that from you and use that also, because that what a perfect description. That is exactly how it is. And I think in ways when, especially when you're looking like in a hospital environment, when you have people that are emotionally charged, or when you're looking at illness or stress, it doesn't matter what culture you come from or what generation you come from. Everybody is impacted by music, and everybody can connect on some platform through music. And so just the way to reach people when you don't have the language and you don't have the history or the culture to connect with them through music is so empowering. And I'm so glad that this profession exists and you're here to share your experiences with it and help our parents learn how to use some of your tools to be able to help connect with their own families.
Yes, there's a, you know, a cheesy quote that says, where words fail, music speaks. But I particularly love it because, especially when we're going through really challenging times, there are so many places where there's not a whole lot that it feels like you can say. And there's so many times where, you know, as somebody who's supporting somebody going through a hard time, oh gosh, I don't know what I can say. I just want to sit with them through this really hard time. And I think that that is something that music really does beautifully. So for example, if I'm working with a family who's at the hospital and they have a child who is actively dying, and I'm walking into that space, I'm walking into suffering and anticipatory grief and so much heartache. And as a stranger walking in that room, there's not a whole lot of, I can do my very best to offer the most supportive words, but sometimes when we just need to hold that space and acknowledge it and kind of be human and connect, music does that so beautifully because we can all participate in it together while we're relaxing in a chair, or while you're making eye contact with somebody else or holding somebody's hand. And so it's the best connector, which is why I think it's so powerful.
We talk about the power of music to heal. the therapeutic levels of sound and how there is the threshold for sound that is restorative and healing. And then there is that space that crosses over to where it's no longer healing and it's just noise. And we talk about how important it is in a healing environment to stay either below it or above a certain realm. Can you kind of touch a little bit on the science behind that and how you help people in your environment become aware on the importance of sound and why we monitor those levels and how that looks?
Sound levels are such an interesting thing. You know, I think as lovers of music, we all want to believe that music can do no harm. And unfortunately, sometimes that's not the case, especially when we're working with really vulnerable people. You know, a really good example of that is working on the neonatal intensive care unit with these premature infants whose hearing is not totally developed, who are trying to do the growing that they were supposed to do inside the womb, and they're doing it outside in the world with, of course, the stimulation of being in a hospital room and hearing lots of beeps. And we know that really loud sounds can be very detrimental to neurodevelopment for those babies. But there's actually a lot of ways that music, I don't want to say can be harmful, but there's a lot of things that I think we need to watch out for when we use music, because I think on the great end of the spectrum, you know, if I were to take a brain scan of your brain listening to music, almost the entire surface area would light up, which is the coolest thing in the entire world. And when you think about why, you know, when you're listening to music, it has, if the music has lyrics, it has language, it has pattern recognition. Oh, that chorus is coming back. I recognize that part. It has emotion. You know, music has a huge way of pulling our emotions in so many different directions. It has memories. We have, you know, the first dance at your wedding or a song that your caregiver used to sing to you all the time. We have so many memories associated with music. And even at the most basic level, you know, our body is a very rhythmic thing. We have a heart rate that is happening at a certain beats per minute. We have a respiration rate that is happening at a certain interval. When we're walking, our gait is at a certain pace. And I could get into the science of entrainment and music, which could be a whole different podcast, but there's lots of really exciting research and evidence that says that sort of the foundation and the beat of music can be used to create positive change with all of those mechanisms. So music is so powerful, which makes it so rich for healing and change, but also means that, you know, if we have negative memories associated with music, or if there are certain loud sounds that could be triggering to us, or certain words or voices and things like that, it's something to be mindful of, and it's something to look out for. When I worked in the Wounded Warriors Battalion and would do those groups, I remember very specifically that I have a drum, and it's called an ocean drum. I love this drum because the metal beads, when you tilt the drum back and forth, they roll over the bottom of the drum and they sound like ocean waves, which to us might sound like a very relaxing sound. And I do, I use it in relaxations all the time. But for somebody that spent a majority of their time in the service on the oceans, the waters and the sounds of the ocean, that was not a calming sound for them. That was something that was potentially really triggering. I think when we think about using music, there's lots of different places that we just need to get to know ourselves and get to know our kids and know, you know, if they're plugging their ears at that rock soundtrack, that might be a little too loud or overstimulating and we need to take a break. Or if they cuddling into your chest and seem like they need a little extra something and you're trying to rock them, maybe they need a little bit of humming, maybe they need more stimulation. It's all about doing our best to sort of with the information that we have, make those little changes.
Taking the cues from the kids, and also just kind of looking to see what connects our individual child, because what works for one child in your family may not be working for another. And I think it's important to recognize, going back to that concept of family-centered care, music connects us, but it connects us uniquely. And what works for one may not work for another.
And even our musical preferences. I mean, one of the most fun parts of my job is that I walk into however many rooms a day, and the first information, or some of the first information that I want to know from these kids, is what kind of music do you like to listen to? And no two kids that I've met answer that question the same. I mean, certainly we have a lot of Frozen fans in the hospital, and so there's definitely overlap, but for one person, Let It Go might be the, I'm going to stand on my bed and use my hairbrush as a microphone, and I'm going to sing it at the top of my lungs. And for the other kid that loves Let It Go, it might be the song that they close their eyes to try to fall asleep. So you're totally right. We all use music so individually.
I laugh because sometimes it's not at all what you think it's going to be. I have my youngest kiddo is the fourth, and so she's the youngest of a bigger family, which means she often did not get to have say over what got played on the radio in the car or around the house. She had older siblings. So unfortunately, we had an accident happen where she ended up getting a hook kind of stuck underneath her eyelid. And we had to go by an ambulance to Dell Children's, which was where I used to work. So it was so wonderful to see friendly faces. What a comfort that was for our family. And she was in such great care and is totally fine. No damage from the hook in the eye. I should have led with that. but as we were admitted through trauma services. And so as she comes in and she's on the trauma table in the ER, and we have all of the trauma team coming in to assess her, and the sweet child life specialist comes in and knows that that's what I do professionally. And so she's extra wonderful, and she's right at bedside, and she has her music ready to go, because we know that there's that evidence-based research that shows us how music can heal and calm in times of trauma and stress. And she's ready. And she's like talks to my child and says, I have music here, and we have all of the favorites. We have Disney, we've got, you know, all of the new movie songs. We can do some Frozen. What do you think that you want? And my little 4-year-old, I guess she was probably 3 at the time, she'd like with one eye closed because it was totally like bandaged and wrapped, and she's on all kinds of pain meds. And she's like, do you have Ariana Grande? Because she's the fourth of her family. And that's That's what was played at the home. So I think that it just kind of goes to show, I'm sure you hear everyone having their own style, and it's based on what's played at home and what is, and for kids in the hospital, and they want a tiny dose of home when they're feeling scared. And she loves Frozen and would have listened to that. But in that moment, she was feeling nervous and unsettled, and she wanted home. And so that was her feeling of home that music could give her in a way that nothing else in that room could. Music has that ability sometimes when nothing else can. To take her home.
I love that music gave her choice and control in that moment, which is, you know, we're always trying to, as you very well know, in the hospital or with anybody who is going through a really hard situation, we're always trying to give back moments of choice and control that we can, because there's a lot of things that we cannot control. And that is such an anxiety spike. And music has so many sort of variables that you can play with to give choice and control in a way where, you know, if a kid's laying down and is getting a medical procedure, they can still let you know, ooh, I want to hear that song, but maybe I want to hear you play it a little slower today, or I want to hear you sing it in the style of Ariana Grande, which I got that request one time. That was a very funny session. So many different opportunities to take something that's familiar and not only choose a song, but choose how that song sounds to them at that moment and how it doesn't sound to them at that moment, which I think makes it a really great tool for coping.
Something that we hear a lot at Wonders and Worries, and that our parents, I feel like, sometimes worry about, maybe a worry they hold on to, is that my child is expressing big feelings and I don't know how to meet them where they're at. And I think in the hospital environment, we have these people plugged in that are there to kind of be their catchfall, right? Like Child Life will come by or music therapy will be here in an hour and they can come by and have a session with them and spend time with them and you have this support. But in the home environment, living your everyday life, walking along chronic illness, it's not like you have Child Life just popping in every 2 seconds or music therapy coming by with all their fun things to help connect with your child. So it's about using the tools that you have there and recognizing that for big feelings, music can kind of hold a key to give them that control we were talking about and letting them feel those feelings and that it's okay to have big feelings. I think that is something with Wonders and Worries, we really try to let our parents be aware of that just because your child is angry does not mean that they are going to go be angry to their peers or hurt someone in their community. It might just mean they're feeling upset about what's happening in their life and they're processing. Music can be a great outlet for that. Would you agree?
100%. I use the breakup example all of the time. Some people get a little nervous when you hear music that is also expressing really big feelings. Oh my gosh, my kid is listening to this song and it's screamo or it's angry and I've never heard them listen to music like this before. Or, you know, all these TikTok songs, they're so sad. They're talking about this. And I don't know if I feel like I want my kids to be listening to this. Music is the great validator. And so if we're going through a breakup, there is a reason that there are hundreds and hundreds and thousands of breakup anthems that exist, because in a way that it's just you and whoever that artist is, that music can validate you in a way that words can't, because the words are saying maybe exactly how you feel, but also that music is just holding it in a really special way. And so I always encourage families, you know, certainly notice if your kids are listening to music and it's a new kind of music for them. It's a big change, just like we always want to notice other big changes in our families, but allow them to make that choice for themselves and validate those big feelings. Because just like we know that it is okay to have big feelings, it's okay to listen to those big feelings back and say, yeah, this really does stink. Or yeah, this song makes me feel like I get it. Because if we were going through a breakup and someone was like, oh, turn that Adele album off, like, I think that that's making you feel more sad than you are. Here's Happy by Pharrell. Like, listen to that. I think it's going to make you feel happy. That is so far away, maybe, from how you're feeling in that moment, that that's not going to connect with you in the same way. And that's okay. That is okay.
I think that's so important for people to hear, because I think a lot of our families carry that guilt and shame specifically because they are the ones that are ill. And so they carry that guilt of, I am making this sadness. I'm causing the breakup, if we're going to kind of stick with that analogy. Like, I'm the bad boyfriend, right? Like, this is me hurting my child. And it's going back to that talk back of, no, this is the illness. This is the part of your family story that is terrible. But this is not you causing this. This is the illness. And everyone deserves the space to process that, just like you are processing this and how it is affecting your life. Your child deserves the right to process how it is affecting their life. And just because they are expressing frustration and hurt and anger, it's not that they are feeling that towards you. They are feeling that about the illness and about the changes in their life. And I think that music can validate that in a way and give them that outlet so that they can then move forward to a better place of healing.
Yes. Yes.
Well, we hear it a lot. We hear it a lot. And I know that a lot of our parents, especially our parents that are hopefully listening, will know that if you're feeling that way, you're not alone. We hear this all the time. I think that I can even think if I was in that position, I would be worried about hurting my child or making my child sad or burdening my child. And it just goes back to reminding yourself you're not this illness that happened to your family. This horrible thing that has happened to your family is causing this hard in your life. But there are great tools like music and great connectors like music and great validators like music that can give them this opportunity to continue to work through all of these big feelings. What would you say, just to kind of give us a glance into the daily life of a music therapist? I say that and I kind of smile because what what day is the same for anyone, especially anyone in healthcare right now? But if you could say just like how you go about your day and then how you work to be intentional about putting music in little pockets of it and just kind of share that with us. And then we can kind of talk about maybe how that can work for our parents.
Sure. So of course I have to start off by saying that using music with patients in music therapy, I mean, every single patient is going to look different. And what's so cool about being a music therapist is that there's so many different reasons for music therapy that we're using music in a very specific clinical way in so many different ways in the hospital. So there's a lot of variety. And so my day looks like, you know, I'll grab my cup of coffee, I'll sit down, I'll look at my census, and I may have, if I'm looking at, you know, my four patients that I'm trying to meet that morning because they're my highest priority, I may have a patient with sickle cell disease who is here for a pain crisis, is in really high pain. You know, we know pain and anxiety exist in a cycle together. So that high pain is giving them high anxiety. They're having a really hard time. And so they're consulting music therapy for relaxation, to decrease pain perception, to decrease anxiety. So with that patient, I might go in, introduce myself, of course, build that trust and talk to them about what they're experiencing in that moment. And then especially when we're talking about pain perception and anxiety, sometimes one of my goals is to see if it matches where this patient is. If I can get them into the music making process with me pretty quickly, that's a really cool and special way to build some trust. So I might pull up GarageBand on my iPad. If they're telling me I love 90s rap and hip hop, I'm going to throw on a beat that matches what genre they're talking about. I'm going to pull up the piano on my iPad from GarageBand, and we're just going to go and see what happens.
That's amazing.
And it's really fun because, you know, especially if you have teenagers, they're like, I don't know about this, but music and a beat and familiarity like that, it pulls you in so quickly that I find that oftentimes we end up having a really cool improvisation together where we've built trust, we've maybe built a couple of coping tools because maybe during your next pain crisis, if you have GarageBand on your phone, you can pull it up and do something similar. But also we've built some skills that now in our next session, maybe we want to talk about anxiety and how that anxiety felt today. And without using any words, let's put on another beat and let's see if you can show me what that sounds like and then just go. So I could have a patient like that where we're working on pain perception and anxiety reduction. And then I could go run over to the inpatient physical rehabilitation unit. And it might be a co-treat with PT where we are trying to motivate a patient to do a sit to stand as they're recovering from an injury, trying to motivate them to stand up, whether it's gaining some muscles back or working on the neurologic piece of that. And how can we use music to support that? And so that might be finding a song for a younger kid that kind of cues them to stand up, you know, I want you to stand up. We can kind of create musical anticipation very easily. That can be really motivating. Or for an older kid who might, you know, be really into a certain TikTok sound or a beat, we can actually take that beat and work the tempo to match whatever movement they're trying to do. So just like, you know, if you're on the stair stepper machine and you find that song that's like exactly with the beat and you're like, oh, this feels super good. We might be trying to look for that. And I could go on and on.
That's amazing. Yes.
I could go on and on because then we might go to the NICU and be just using very soft humming to try and assess tolerance of stimulation for a premature infant. And then I might go to the PICU and I might be working with a patient who's sedated and intubated, and I'm looking at their respiration rate or their heart rate probably in that moment. And if they have a really high heart rate, I'm taking a song that maybe a caregiver has told me is familiar to that patient, and I'm entraining it to that heart rate. And I'm seeing if I take that tempo down 5%, is that heart rate going to follow what I do? And the evidence shows, and a lot of times it does, which is really special. So my day has a lot of variety, which keeps me on my toes, but is super rewarding because, I mean, really, it just validates every single day that music is just, we always say the power of music. Music is such a powerful medium.
You know, one time I attended a conference and I got to work with a music therapist and a chaplain that was using heartbeats, baby heartbeats in the NICU,
yes,
to create songs for these little sweet tiny newborn nuggets. Some of them were approaching end of life and some of them were not. And they were able to use their heartbeat to make a beat, a literal beat. And then their parents recorded lyrics and rapped over the heartbeat. And what a treasure gift of legacy that was, because for some of these babies that did not survive, they now had this amazing gift of legacy for this family that was over their own child's beating heart. What a great reminder to know that, like, my child was, they existed. This was them. This was their heart. And I was a part of it. And this is what I got to see and belong to and be a part of. And such a gift only music could give.
Heartbeat recordings. They are so, I mean, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about them. That is part of what we offer to families at end of life here. And it is never not an honor to be listening to those sweet heartbeat sounds and hearing from a family. What is that song that feels really special to go with this? Is it this patient's favorite song? Is it a song that was always playing in the house? Is it a song that makes you think of them? And how putting those two together just really creates this beautiful legacy and this beautiful memory and keepsake that can go home and can either sit in the bedside drawer forever to be there when you need it, or can be in the car playing all the time. I just love it.
I do too. I wish that had been around. Like, it had been around. Obviously, people have had heart rates forever, but I wish we had the wherewithal to know to do that before, because what a gift. I think it's just the coolest thing ever. Talking about our parents and looking at music in their everyday home environments, how can they use music to connect with their kids? You talk about how you go in and oftentimes you maybe don't have, we call it professionally rapport, but you don't have that relationship per se with these kids. Maybe you're meeting them for the first time. Sometimes I feel like it's almost harder if you do have that relationship, because you're not going in to your child, your teen child's room with a blank slate, right? Like, maybe yesterday you had to get onto them because they were supposed to walk their sibling home from school and they forgot, or maybe they were supposed to do this chore and they didn't, or snapped at you because they were frustrated. So you're still parenting them, but you're also trying to connect with them and recognize that your family is going through something profoundly hard. How can you use music to promote healing and repairing of a relationship when you have something so impactful like chronic illness happening in your home unit?
So many things come to mind. You know, there's so many beautiful ways that we can connect in music, some that don't require us to put forth a ton of energy all the way to, yes, let's go fly to Las Vegas and see Adele in concert because we love her so much. But I think that using music in the home, first and foremost, to connect with your family and just ask, what's everyone been listening to lately? Or maybe, you know, you were talking about who has the aux cord, or the aux cord doesn't exist anymore, but the metaphorical aux cord in the car, switching that around or making a game out of it in the car. You know, we're going to play a game of name that tune while we're driving today. And so everyone, I want you to think of a song, and we're going to play the first 10 seconds of that song, and we're going to see who can guess what song is on everyone's mind right now. So it can be as little as finding, you know, fun ways to just get people to share their music and listen to music together. It can be pulling out the Tupperware, and if you've got, maybe you have a record player at home and you're playing a record, pulling out the Tupperware and having an impromptu drum, you know, party. Let's do something really silly that we've never done before, because that sounds really fun right now. Or a game of freeze dance. Or even if there's two caregivers in the household, they want to share, oh, this was our first dance at our wedding, and this is how we danced, or we did a big lift like this. Having those moments for music and memories and connection. There's, you know, I could write a list so long, but it's finding what people are comfortable with sharing with their connection to music, and just being open to listening to it and sitting with it together.
Would you say also that for our parents, that maybe allowing themselves to recognize it's okay if you don't like the music, because there is a really good chance you won't, but to try to allow yourself to sit in it for a little bit to see if it can connect with your kid. Is that kind of where you, how do you guide parents with that initial rapport building?
Yes, music is deeply personal. And so I think it is, you know, it's a common joke to say, oh, this person has terrible taste in music, or, oh, turn that stuff off, it's terrible. But especially to somebody who might be in more of a vulnerable place, you know, sharing music can be a deeply personal thing. And if that music really feels like it's getting you, or you're spending so much time with it, that's really personal criticism to take sometimes. And so even if it might not be pleasing to your ear in the way that your own preferred music is, it also can be a really cool springboard to say, hey, I've never heard this type of music before. What is this new subgenre? And have them tell you a little bit about it. What bands are in this genre right now? Or what is that instrument that's doing this? Or what about this song do you really like? I've heard this one coming from your room a couple of times. Even just showing an interest in learning about someone's music, even if it's not the most pleasing to your ear, is such an invitation for connection in a really cool way.
In terms of using, because for some families, a lot of families we know right now, especially with the economy, what it is, finances are tough. Yeah. So expecting every family to be able to afford, you know, music lessons or instruments, or go out and get therapy, or go and, you know, have family Spotify accounts. Sometimes even that's a really big ask. What are some ways that they can connect? Are there free apps that you recommend that you utilize a lot at the hospital that you could encourage them to try with their kids to find music?
100%. I think that if, you know, COVID caused a lot of harm and a lot of hurt, but it did force, of course, lots of things to grow. And I think that the traditional style of you have a piano teacher and you go to their house every single week wasn't working. And so there's so many different ways that you can connect with an instrument or connect with music now that weren't maybe even available 4 years ago, which is cool. My favorite resource, just because it is so accessible, people are familiar with it already, and there's so much, is YouTube. You can find playlists and playlists and accounts of any instrument that you could ever think of, teaching you from the ground up let's do your first ukulele lesson. We're going to learn the parts of the ukulele. I'm going to show you how to tune it. And, you know, these are the different strings. You can engage with so many different people, and you can do it at your own pace, which I love. And for some people, that is absolutely the ticket. Because if your family is busy, 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 or if your family is going through a really hard time, there are times where it's like, yeah, I really want to pick up my ukulele that I'm learning right now because I'm feeling, you know, like I need a coping skill, or I need to calm my body down, or I need to engage in something to distract my mind, then it's there for you. But in times where those feelings feel too big and it doesn't feel like the time to engage, you can put it down too. And so I tend to really, really love YouTube. Now, I'm using ukulele as an example. There's this awesome organization called the Ukulele Kids Club, and they actually donate ukuleles to pediatric hospitals all over the nation for free for those kids to learn and to play. And so they have a lot of free teaching resources and classes and workshops too. So I highly recommend Ukulele Kids Club. Yeah, those are the two that are coming to mind right now. But there are amazing, so many community organizations. I mean, even here in Austin, I have to shout out Austin Classical Guitars. They have a volunteer who comes to the hospital, and he is an incredible guitar player, and he is able to donate a guitar to a kid who wants to learn how to play guitar, and teaches lessons and connects with them and can follow them outside of the hospital so that lessons can keep happening at no cost to the family. So I absolutely adore that organization too.
And utilizing even Spotify has a free version. Yes, you'll have commercials, but you can still make playlists with that.
Pandora too. I feel like people loved Pandora and then it kind of took a little break. And I feel like Pandora is coming back, which I love, because sometimes with music in the age of streaming, it's like the paradox of choice. There's so many choices where sometimes I feel this like in my drive to work in the mornings, there's so many different songs or types of music or vibes that I could put on in that car ride. And I haven't had my coffee. I'm not ready to make that choice. So maybe I'll just throw a podcast on. But I love Pandora because you can kind of make one choice. Show me things that sound kind of like Ariana Grande. And it's like, got it. Here's your radio station. So I love Pandora too.
And you get the thumb up, thumb down feature. Do they still have that?
Yes. Yes. And I think you get like a certain level of nexts or something like
that. Oh, that's right.
Which is very helpful.
Yes. I mean, because then I think you probably get cut off. If you do like 8 thumbs down, then you're like, nope, you got to sit here for a minute.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Is there anything that you want to share with our families before we let you have your day?
Well, thank you so much to all of our listeners who are listening to this conversation right now. I think in whatever capacity you are ready or want to introduce music into your family right now, if you're going through a hard time, or if it's, you know, a regular old busy Monday morning, that is okay. Have grace for yourselves and have fun with it, because music is innately fun and joyful. And there's hundreds of ways to find that joy within music. It's the best connector, which is why I think music is such a powerful medium.
Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. Please continue to check back as our content is ever evolving. For any recommendations or topics you would like to see covered, please feel free to send an email to podcast@wondersandworries.org.